After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." A wonderful story. And you know, I've been learning some new things about it, but I'm going to save them and share them on another day with us. But for today, just a few brief moments, I want to share a couple of quick thoughts with us. You see, in the story, the father has two sons. And the younger one comes to him and asks for his share of the inheritance. That's the kind of thing you normally get when your mom or your dad die and it all passes on to you. You know, my dad recently retired from the Territorial Army. And he got a gift out of the shop. And it's this wonderful glass set and coaster set. And it's got the Black Watch logo on it. And all the wars they've ever fought in. And my dad keeps turning around to my brother and I and he says, "This is going to be your inheritance." Now, I have to say, some glasses and coasters with the Black Watch symbol on them and a list of wars that they've fought in doesn't actually appeal to me very much. So I very kindly said to my brother, "You can have it." And my brother very kindly said, "You know what? Our sister is Dad's favourite. She can have them." In the story here, the son wants his inheritance. He wants the money. He wants to be able to go out and to enjoy himself. And just as today, it wouldn't be the done thing for any of us to go to our mums and dads and say, "Can you give me my inheritance now? Can you give me all that money that I'm going to get one day now?" So it wasn't the right thing to do then. But the son went to his father, and we learn that his father, this loving father, was willing to listen. He was willing to listen to his son. He loves his son. He wants the very best thing for him, and yet he realizes that he's got to let his son live his own life. Now, I don't know if you're a parent or not, but I am. And my kids are getting older by the day. Rebecca was 13 this week. Two teenagers in the house. I'll take your sympathy afterwards. But you know, I'm beginning to think ahead already to the fact that in a few years' time, Andrew's going to say, "Dad, I'm off to university." Then a few years after that, Rebecca's going to say the same. And I'm going to say, "Do you know what? That's a really good thing. But I'm also going to say, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay at home with me, because at home I can love you and I can care for you and I can provide for you and I can protect you. But if I let you go, then you've got to do that yourself. And it's an awful bad world out there." And so I would want to keep them to myself, and I suppose most of us do. But in human life, there comes a point when we need to let our kids go and live their own lives and do their own thing. And so the father in this story is willing to let his son go. He's willing to let him go and discover the world. And the world is such an appealing place for him. It's awful inviting. There's lots of attractions all around him. He sees the shops and he sees all the clothes and he sees the fun fair and all the wonderful rides. He sees the play park and all the wonderful things that are in it. The father knows what trouble might lie ahead, but willingly he lets his son go. And so the son disappears off into the distance, and the father must wonder if he'll ever see his son again. He's worried and yet willing to let him go. But the interesting thing for me is what we then read in verse 20, where we read, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." How did his father see him? Did his father just suddenly look up and look out the window or out the gate and see his son coming in the distance? I don't think so. I've got a sense here that the Father, the whole time the Son's been away, He's been watching and waiting for His Son to return to Him. He's longed to have Him back, so He's been watching and He's been waiting. But this young son has been enjoying the good life. He's been enjoying the parties. He's been enjoying the freedom. You get to do the things you want to do without any repercussions, is what he thought. But you know, freedom soon gave way to imprisonment for this young man. He wasn't thrown in jail, but he had another kind of imprisonment. You see, he spent all his money on wild living, which earned him lots and lots of friends. Everybody was around him because he was the coolest guy in town. He had the best dressed clothes on, a bit like me this morning. There's a little laugh from the front here. Best dressed clothes on. He went to all the parties and he took everybody with him and he spent his money on them. But you know, his money soon ran out. And as soon as he ran out of money, so he ran out of friends because they disappeared to the next person who had money to spend upon them. And soon after that, there was a famine in the land. He had no money, he had no job, he had no food to eat, he didn't know what to do. He was imprisoned in his own little jail, if you like. He was imprisoned in the lifestyle that he had set up for himself. He had to find work. The only work was with a pig farmer. He was sent to look after the pigs. He had reached rock bottom and he didn't know what to do. But you know, verse 17 tells us that he came to his senses. One day he realized that everything he had done had been silly, it had been stupid, he had done wrong. And so he thought about a little speech to take home to his dad. And then he went home to his dad to tell him, "Dad, would you forgive me?" But what happened? His father saw him in the distance. He was watching and waiting for him coming back. And so as his father saw him, he immediately ran out to his son with his arms opened wide. He was ready to welcome his son back. And just like Nemo and his dad, there was this big hug and this big reunion. The father is now welcoming. He's welcoming his son home. And the son started that sorry speech. "Dad, I'm really sorry. I've done a really stupid thing and I've done... could you ever forgive me?" And his dad interrupts him. And he calls for his servants to come and put a robe on him and a ring on his finger. He calls his servants to go and get the best calf outside so they can have a big banquet. He says, "We're going to have a feast and celebrate. My son, this son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found." The son expected the worst from his father, who wouldn't in his position. But the father gave him everything that he had ever looked for. He got the love. He got the bright, happy, secure future that he had tried to do in so many different ways. His father welcomed him home with love and compassion. And so what's it all about? What is it all about? What's the story about? The truth is that you and me, every one of us, is like that son. We're far too interested in doing our own thing, getting what we want out of life. And God, our Heavenly Father, knows this. And the amazing thing for me is that He lets us do what we want. You see, when God made the world way back in the beginning of time, He made us in His image and He placed the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in this wonderful garden. And it was perfect. They had everything they ever wanted. And He says, "Do what you want, eat what you want, except one thing. That tree right there in the middle, don't touch the fruit. Don't eat the fruit off of that tree." Adam and Eve had everything they ever wanted. That's what we want too, isn't it? Everything we ever want. And yet because God said to them, "There's one thing you can't have," what did they want? That one thing they couldn't have. And so temptation came, the devil came and he tempted them and they ate from that tree. And that all happened because God gave us our own minds. He gave us free will. He allows us to make our own decisions in life. Do you know, God could have made us as clones. He could have made us all the same and then all of our lives we would just worship Him and love Him and care for Him. That's all we would ever do. Could you imagine if this place this morning was full of Hamish Wishart's? I'm sure we'd soon fall out with each other. I'm sure we'd soon realize it wasn't much fun. So God gave us our own minds to make our own decisions in life. And because of that, we make choices. And sometimes, from the very youngest boy and girl here to the very oldest man or woman here, we make mistakes. We make the wrong choice. We go our own way. And you know, Adam and Eve made that choice. They disobeyed God. They did their own thing. And the Bible calls that sin. Sin is doing those things which displease God. Sin is doing those things which are contrary to God's teaching here in the Bible. Sin is ignoring God and doing what I want for me. You know, it doesn't need to be something big and major like murder. It could be something simple like stealing. It could be something simple like lying. It could be something simple, boys and girls, like having a laugh and mocking one of our friends. We all do things that are wrong. And Jesus taught that we should love God and we should love other people. Yet any time we do something other than that, we cause hurt to them and we cause hurt to God. God knew we would sin. And the trouble with sin is there's a penalty. And that penalty, the Bible teaches us, is death. It's separation from God forever. And God knew this. And he knew we'd fall short. And so what did he do? That wonderful verse that the children learned on Friday and did little actions to as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. See, we're remembering the actions here. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, you can get a little action afterwards to do all of that. You can ask them afterwards. But God loved the world. And so instead of punishing us for the sin, for all the bad that we had done, what did he do? He sent his Son to the cross. Jesus suffered and died willingly in your place and in mine. He gave up his life for us. You see, God was willing to let us make our own choices in life. He's watching and waiting, ready to welcome us home. And many of us here have realized that. And we've come back to God and we've said, you know what, I'm sorry for sin. I'm sorry for the bad things I've done in my life. I'm sorry for forgetting about you and ignoring you. And we'll become Christians. But for some here, you've maybe never heard that. For some here, you maybe don't know who God is. And this is the first time you've heard that story. He is a loving Father. He's a loving Father who is willing to let us make our own decisions. But as a loving Father, he's also watching and waiting for us, ready to welcome us back in. But the only way he could welcome us back in was by punishing sin, because he's a just God. And so his Son died on the cross to save us. If you've never heard that message today, then let me encourage you to think on it this morning. If you've never said to Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for saving me. I turn from my sin. I want to follow you. I want to crown you as Lord of my life. Then do it today. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You can do that this morning. And I just want to encourage you to remember that God is watching and waiting. His arms are open wide, ready to welcome us back in. And if you want to talk about that later, then come and grab me over lunch as we're having a sandwich and coffee, and I'll happily talk with you and share with you. Talk to some of the other folks who are here in church. They'll gladly be able to do the same and tell you how they came to realize that Jesus died to save them as well. Why don't we just pray together, and then we'll sing and finish. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great and your amazing love. We thank you that you are a Father who was willing to give us our own minds, to make our own choices in life. Yet, Lord, you showed us how to live, and we ignored that. But we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to the cross to die to save us. We thank you and we praise you for that. And Lord, for those of us who have recognized that and who are following you, we just want to say thank you. But Father God, maybe this morning there are some here, young, old, anything in between, who have never heard before or have never responded to your amazing love. Then Lord, remind them this morning that you are watching and waiting, that your arms are open wide, ready to welcome them back to you. Father God, help any here who don't know you to be able to confess their sin before you, to thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross to save them, and allow them to help crown him Lord of their lives. Father God, work in people's lives today, we pray, that their lives might be changed for all of eternity, that they might rejoice and they might follow you always. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.